Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nedarim is Ayin Dalid. Today we get such a wonderful review of Masechet Yevamos. Not all of it, obviously, but a good part of it. Let's see a lot of sugyas that were now far in the rearview mirror, but now because of today's daf, we get to review a lot of these basic issues regarding Yevamos once again. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zecher Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Let's start with the Mishnah, but before we actually start reading the Mishnah inside, let's go over things which we have seen before and for the most part pretty much know. When a woman is married to a man and unfortunately her husband dies and leaves her with no children, and there's a surviving brother, so there's a mitzvah of Yibum. And that mitzvah of Yibum will therefore require this woman to marry her brother-in-law and to have children. And the point of that is to perpetuate the name and legacy of the deceased brother. The Ramban in his commentary to Parshas Vayeshev, so he says that this is an old mitzvah, if we could talk in those terms, but the Ramban does. He says this is an old mitzvah, it's a very special mitzvah, it's an intuitive mitzvah, and good, that'll be our fluff for today. That'll be the nice discussion we have regarding the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, contained within this mitzvah of Yibum is the idea that, generally speaking, when you make a shidduch, so you're the one who puts in all the effort. You look for the right girl. You go around. You see her. You try to find which one is best suitable for you. Needless to say, it goes without saying, this is just a short editorial. You literally have no idea until you actually marry her and you live together, and then you find out. But most of the time, it works out, and you make it work, and good. But what makes Yibum so special is this idea that the shidduch comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning that this woman and this man really had no idea that they were going to get married with one another. And the language that we're going to see today in today's Mishnah, which we talked about back in Masechet Yevamos, is Hikna Lo Min HaShamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated that this woman's going to be to you. You didn't plan it. You didn't schedule this woman to be your wife for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, or what have you. But nevertheless, though, through the mitzvah of Yibum, so say hello to the new Rebbetzin. That is that's one of the basic ideas as it relates to the mitzvah of Yevamos. And why are we talking about Yevamos today? Why is today's daf and tomorrow, a little bit of tomorrow, dedicated to the mitzvah of Yibum? Because we want to know how it relates to Hafara. So as we've been discussing since the beginning of this perek, 10th perek of Nedarim, we know that a husband has a right to be made for his wife's Nedarim. So if they went through Eris, and if they went through the first stage of marriage, so then a husband can be made for in conjunction with his father-in-law. If they go through Nisu in the second stage of marriage, so he, the husband on his own, can be made for his wife's Nedarim. He can annul all the Nedarim that were made by his wife. Good. So that's what we've been discussing since the opening page of this particular parak, the 10th parak of Nedarim. Now we're discussing it as it relates to Yevamos, because now let's say that, God forbid, her husband dies, and now she's what's called the Shomeris Yavam. She's waiting for her brother-in-law to consummate the marriage. So now, in the state of waiting, can her brother-in-law be made for her Nedarim? Now, at first glance, the question, of course, would seem to be no. Well, the brother, they're not married yet. So why are we even entertaining the idea that the brother-in-law could be made for her Nedarim? So this goes back to a topic that we discussed extensively in Masechet Yevamos, and then we get to treat it again today, and that is the topic of Zika. The topic of Zika is that even though they're not yet married, they're quasi-married. Meaning that because the Torah recognizes that this woman and this man are going to marry, and because the destiny of these two are that they are going to marry, and not only that, it's more than that. It's not just a destiny that they're going to be married, they're bonded together. That bond that they have to one another is a very strong and powerful bond. In fact, we know the halacha is that a woman who is a Shomeris Yavam is not allowed to marry another man. She's not allowed to accept kedushin from another man. It's an issur in the Torah for her to accept a kedushin from another man. So So this bond is so strong, so it's a quasi-marriage. And so we get to ask the question that we asked in Yevamos a number of times, and that is, how do we view this quasi-marriage? This quasi-marriage that exists between a Yavam and a Yavama, between the brother-in-law and sister-in-law who are destined to be married, is this quasi-marriage going to be considered as if they are married, to the extent in which now this brother-in-law, or let's no longer call him a brother-in-law, this Yavam, it's the same thing, but this Yavam now, can he be made for his Yavamas Nedarim? That is the question that we're going to be dealing and discussing over the course of today. That's really the only question we're going to be discussing today. So we throw ourselves back into the world of Yavamos. Shemeres Yavam, Bein Le'Yavam Echa, Bein L'Shnei Yavamim. We start with the Mishnah, we're on the top of Ayin Dal Mad Aleph. So Yav Shemeres Yavam, Bein Le'Yavam Echa, Bein L'Shnei Yavamim. Now she could be looking at one or two potential brother-in-laws. It does not matter. Remember, her husband died, and now she has a Zika. She is bonded with whoever is the surviving brother. Now, it could be brother, could be brothers. Either way, she is bonded. So, according to the first opinion in our Mishnah, Bein Liyavamecha, I'm sorry, Shemeres Yavam, Bein Liyavamecha, Bein L'Shnei Yavam, and Rav Lazar Omer Yafir. Rav Lazar is of the opinion that either one of them could do Hafara. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, considering the fact that each one of them is bonded to her, has a zika to her, so therefore Rabbi Eliezer's position is yafir, that they could do hafara. Now the Gemara later on is going to point out, but let's point it out right now, the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is very interesting and also a little bit tough to understand, because we know that, yes, it's true that the brother-in-law and sister-in-law are destined to marry one another. We also know that they're bonded to one another. But in this particular scenario, if there's one Yavam, if there's one brother-in-law, so then pretty much done deal. Meaning there's no choice in the matter. He's a Yavam, she's a Yavama, and she doesn't have much of a selection. It's her brother-in-law. Now, it goes without saying, but I'll just mention it. There is a way out of all this, and that's Chalitza. But Chalitza is not up for discussion today. In other words, if there's one brother-in-law and one sister-in-law, so good. So we certainly understand how we could view this as a quasi-marriage. They are bonded to one another. They have a zika to one another. Where Rabbi Eliezer gets interesting is the idea that not only does he extend this halacha to where there's one brother-in-law, but he extends it even so far as if there are two brother-in-laws. So that now both of them are certainly not going to marry her. Only one of the two are going to marry her. So the question begs itself, how can we say that if there were two brother-in-laws where there's a 50-50 possibility that one is going to marry her and not the other? So how can we say that each one of them has the right to be made for her nedarim? How does that work? So stay tuned, because we're going to be discussing how in the course of the Gemara, just raising awareness of that issue right now.
No, does the Yavam have to
hear? Yeah, of course. Really? Of course. Yeah. So the Bein L'Shnei Yavamim, Rav Lazar Amar Yafir. Rav Yehoshua Amar Le'echad Aval L'Shtayim. So Rav Yehoshua now takes a position which is essentially Rabbi Elazar's position, but a significantly modified version of Rabbi Elazar's position, and at this point I would dare say a more intuitive position, and that is, if there's one surviving brother, and we know that this surviving brother is going to be marrying this widow, so then one Yavam, one Yavama, good. So now that's a quasi-marriage. At this juncture, at this point in time, he could be made for his wife's Nedarim. It's not his wife, but for all intents and purposes right now, destiny says they're going to marry. So for our intents and purposes, he could be made for. But Rav Yehoshua says, but if there are two Yavamim, if there are two brother-in-laws, and we don't know which one is going to be the husband, one of them will, but we don't know which one. So at that point in time, you can't say that both of them have the right to be made for. So basically, Rav Yehoshua works within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, but a more intuitive nature. This halacha of afar is only limited when there is one brother, not when there is two.
And is the father involved too?
Stay tuned. That's it. That's a great question, but stay tuned. We're too early to entertain that, but later this morning we will entertain that. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo le'echa v'lo le'shnayim. So Rabbi Kiva says, no and no. Meaning, at this juncture, they're not married, and Rabbi Kiva, therefore, they takes the position that even though they are bonded, I'm not going to say the word Zika, and you'll see why later on, even though they're bonded to one another, and even though there is a connection between Yavam and Yavama, but Rabbi Kiva says, okay, but they're not married, and so therefore, at this juncture, Rabbi Kiva says, you can't be made for the Nedar. The Yavam cannot be made for, even if it's one Yavam, he can't be made for the Nedarim, so says Rabbi Kiva. So, to put it nice and succinctly, in our Mishnah, we have three opinions on whether or not a Yavam could be made for his wife's Nedarim. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say yes, but Rabbi Eliezer actually goes one step further than Rabbi Yeshua. Even if there are two Yavamim, they could be made for the Nedar, which we need to explain later on, which we will. And Rabbi Kiva says no. Rabbi Kiva says at this point they are not married, not enough to the extent in which we can declare the Yavam to be able to have that ability to annul his wife's Nedarim. Good. Adkan, that is not the end of the Mishnah, but those are just the presentation of the three Shitas. And now, the Mishnah, we get dialogue. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Ma Imisha Shekanahu Latzma Harehu Meifer Nedareha. Isha Shehegalam Neshamayim Enedin Sheafer Nedareha. So Rebbe Lazar starts off with an argument, right? A Kal V'Chomer, a logical argument. And Rabbi Lazar says, look, if you yourself select a wife, so you have the ability to be made for Nadarim to annul her vows. Good. And that's if you select a wife. Now, let's go one step further. Let's say you're not the one who selected the wife, but let's say Hashem selected you the wife. Oh, Yibum. Even better. So, it's hard to really put my finger on what exactly the logical argument is. Right. Correct. I myself also am not perfectly clear on how this is an extension. I guess the idea is that if you were the ones who, using your own free choice, decided to which wife it is, and the Torah grants you the ability, well, if Hashem puts her in your life. Okay, Allah has kama v'kama. Okay, fine. Anyway, that's Rabbi Elazar's argument. Amalo Rabbi Akiva lo. And Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Eliezer with a simple response of no. But he goes on to articulate. Look, how can you compare the two? When it comes to Isha Achas, when it comes to you selecting a wife, once you select her as your wife, and by selection we mean Kiddushin, and let's go one step further. Let's even at this point say Nisuin. Once you select her as your wife, but really we could have stopped at Kedushin to make this point. But once you select her as your wife, she's exclusively yours. She's not permitted to be with any other man. She's your wife. On the other hand, let's now talk about a Yavama. A Yavama, this widow is survived by not one brother-in-law, but two brother-in-laws, can either one of the brother-in-laws claim exclusivity to her? Of course not. Meaning, even at this stage of Hikna Lo Min HaShamayim, okay, the two brothers now have the ability to do the mitzvah of Yibum. But Rabbi Akiva says, but that's exactly the point. Doesn't mean one of them is going to do it, but not two. And neither one of them can claim exclusivity. Now, yeah, there is a discussion, I say parenthetically, there's a discussion in the Gemara and Yavamos. I think Chav Dalet, if I can remember correctly. But either way, there's a discussion over there regarding there is precedence that's given to the older brother over the younger brother. But in terms of the strict idea that both are candidates, so Rabbi Akiva says it's not the same. You can't compare the two. Good. So Amrle Rabbi Yeshua Akiva Dvarecha B'Shnei. I'm sorry. Amrle Rabbi Yeshua Akiva Dvarecha B'Shnei Yavamim. Ma'atam Eshaval Yavamechad. So Rabbi Elazar says to Rabbi Akiva. Sorry. Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Akiva. Look, your point is well taken. If there are two surviving brothers, but however, what if there's one surviving brother? If there's one surviving brother, so then, okay, you're not going to agree to Rabbi Eliezer in every circumstance. That's fine. But at least based on this logical argument, can't you now say that if there's one surviving brother, we know now that he is the candidate and unopposed. He's the unopposed candidate to do the mitzvah of Yibam. So now can't we make that same argument to Rabbi Eliezer? If you select a wife and you have the ability to be made for, Hashem selects you your wife. And again, we're talking about who's running unopposed. There's no other surviving brother. So if you're the, if Hashem selects your wife, so you for sure could be made for your wife's Nedarim. Good. So now Rabbi Kiva back against the wall. What is he going to say? Amar lo, eini yavama gemura li yavam, kishem sharusa gemura li isha. So Rabbi Kiva backed into a corner says, it's still not the same. You can't compare the marriage of a woman to a man to a woman, meaning a regular marriage, to that of a Yavama. Okay? That is where the Mishnah ends us off. Obviously, at this juncture, we're not perfectly clear what Rabbi Kiva's final response is in terms of his own defense. So again, let's just quickly recap our three opinions within the Mishnah, and obviously much to discuss. Question on the table is that when a woman is a Shomeres Yavam, she's lying in wait. She is waiting for her brother-in-law to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. So at this juncture, can the Yavam perform does he have the power of Hafara? Can he annul her vow? So in our Mishnah, we have three Shitas. Rabbi Eliezer says yes. And not only does Rabbi Eliezer say yes, but even in the case where there are two Yavamim, Rabbi Eliezer says yes. That needs to be explained. We haven't explained that yet. Rabbi Yehoshua says yes, but only if there's one Yavam. And again, at this juncture, we certainly understand that, because if he's running unopposed, so now we can basically say he is the husband apparent, and they're bonded together, and so therefore it's true. They treat it, Rabbi Yehoshua treats it like a marriage, and just like within the framework of a marriage, a husband can be made for his wife's nedarim, so too if an unopposed brother-in-law, there's no other brother-in-laws, if it's a single brother-in-law, so then he also can be made for his wife's nedarim. And finally, in the third opinion of our mission is Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says no. The marriage, a regular marriage, cannot be compared to Yibum, even as a Shemeres Yavam, even if the man was running unopposed. Still, Rabbi Akiva says, is that they are not considered husband and wife vis-a-vis this halach of Afar for reasons which the Mishnah really has not yet articulated, which we're about to articulate. Good.
Question.
Yeah.
The fact that no one says that he's both Yavam.
Right.
Definitely, we're holding the world debate.
Correct. So we'll stay tuned because Gemara is going to reflect on all that as well. Meaning, right? Even Rabbi Eliezer. At this point, it's so hard to understand Rabbi Eliezer without any more commentary. Bishlam. We start with the Gemara. Bishlam. Rabbi Kiva Savrein Zika. So the Gemara says, "Look, I'll tell you where we could start off this whole discussion. That is our understanding of Rabbi Akiva, and that is Ein Zika." Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to this idea of Zika. So let's remind ourselves. This is a big concept that came up again and again throughout Masechta Yevamos. And we get to review it once again. This idea of Ein Zika or Yesh Zika means as follows. Look, we know, let's keep it simple. Let's say that there's one surviving brother. We know that the Torah instructs this one surviving brother to take his sister-in-law, his widowed sister-in-law, and to marry her and to propagate with her and to continue the legacy of his brother. Okay, good. That we know. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. But here's the point, however, which became one of the main themes of Masechta Yevamos, and that is the following. Before he consummates the marriage, before he takes her into his house and makes her his lawfully wedded wife. So we know at this point in time there is an imperative for him to do that mitzvah of Yibum. Does that imperative of him having to do the mitzvah of Yibum qualify this now as a marriage? In other words, the concept of what's called Zika. Zika is literally, the word means bonded, connected, right? Zikin, we said it this morning during Pesukah Zimra, right? It means basically you're chained together. But over here, chained, you know, obviously has a positive and negative connotation, but they're linked together. So if you subscribe to the idea of Yesh Zika, so that means that not only does he have a mitzvah to marry her, but even at this juncture, they're connected. They're bonded with one another. With a number of ramifications, the Gemara in Yevamos goes through a number of those ramifications. We're not going to go through them now. All we need to say right now is, because we're focused right now on Hafaras Nedarim, is that the ramification would be that if you subscribe to the idea of Zika, so then you're married, it's a quasi-marriage, even at this juncture, and therefore you have the ability to be made for a Nedarim. Rabbi Akiva takes the position of Ein Zika. We don't subscribe to this idea of Zika. Despite the fact that this one surviving brother-in-law has a mitzvah to marry her, good, he has a mitzvah to marry her. But currently, in its present state, there's no bond between the two of them. When he marries her, so then they're going to be husband and wife. But until that point in time, they're not married, and they don't have any type of halachic legal connection with one another. Good. So once Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the principle of Ein Zika, so then we perfectly understand the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, they're not married. They're not married. They have no status of marriage whatsoever. He does have a mitzvah in the Torah to marry her. If and when that happens, then they're married. Until that point in time, they're not. And you can't do the mitzvah of Hafara. Adkan, the Gemara says, that's a very simple solution in terms of understanding Rabbi Akiva. Which then, by the way, we're not going to do this now, but then yeah, if you want, then you retrace the steps and you go back to the Mishnah. That really represents Rabbi Akiva's second argument, the final argument to Rabbi Akiva. That's what he meant. Good. Then you have to go backwards, and then you have to say, what did Rabbi Akiva mean in the first argument? If he truly held Ein Zika, so then what was he arguing in the first argument? Okay. We're not going to do that, but in other words, you can explore that on your own time. And I make the same invitation to myself as well. So Bishlam Rabbi Akiva Savar Ein Zika. And Rabbi Yehoshua Savar Yesh Zika. Good. And now we can also understand the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. Look, if there's one unopposed candidate for who's going to do the mitzvah of Yibum, one surviving brother. Good. So Rabbi Yehoshua takes the position that Yesh Zika, that there is a Zika. That even in the current state, because the Torah commands him to marry her, even at this juncture, they have a marriage status, and therefore he has the right to be made for Nedarim. Good, so I understand Rabbi Yehoshua. But Ella, Rabbi Eliezer, my time may. So the Gemara says, but here's the part where we're going to really struggle with. And that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Yesh Zika, because even if he subscribes to this principle of Zika, that's good. But ain't Breira. But okay. But the Gemara says, but we don't know which one of the two brothers, meaning, remember, Rabbi Eliezer says that even if they're two surviving brothers, so they could be made for an Adarim, they could annul her vows. How can that be? That's very hard to understand. The two surviving brothers, only one of them is going to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Even if you subscribe to Yesh Zika, that there's some sort of bond, we know that ultimately only one of the two is going to marry her. So even when you subscribe to this principle of Zika, we're not going to entertain the idea that they're both husbands of her. That's not plausible, that's not tenable. The only thing we're going to say is that eventually one of the two is going to marry her. But what do you want to tell me? That when one of the two marries her, retroactively, that tells us that he was a husband all along, and therefore he can, therefore we can go back and say that if he annulled her vows during the stage of Shmiras Yavam, so then it's going to work because it's retroactive. The Gemara says, "Ain't Breira. We don't know which one is going to marry her." Okay, so what's left on the table to explain is, it's a very simple issue, and it really is going to carry us through the rest of today, is how do you understand the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer? How can it be that if there are two surviving brothers, Rabbi Eliezer says, they could be Mayfair. Now, to be fair, by the way, he doesn't say they could be Mayfair. He says one of them could be Mayfair. But we're only left shrugging our shoulders and wondering, even if that's true, how can one of them be Mayfair? We right now currently don't know who's going to marry her. How can that be? Good. That's our question, and here we go with an answer. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Ami, Kigon Shasa Bamaimer, Rabbi Elazar Sevela Kebe Shamai, the Ami Maimer Kone Kinyan Gamor." Okay, so the Gemara is going to introduce us to an idea, and it's not really an introduction. We've been here, we've done this, we've covered Masechet Yevamos, and remember that Min HaTorah, how is the mitzvah of Yibam performed? So to be blunt and to be honest, Bia. The mitzvah of Yibam is an act of Bia. The sixth parak of Yibam was spent a lot of time discussing the parameters of Bia in terms of how it relates to the acquisition of a Yavam to his Yavam. So the answer is Bia, plain and simple. So the Chachamim said, in the course of a marriage is done in stages. First stage of marriage is Kedushin. Second stage of marriage is Nisuin. And generally speaking, entree into marriage is a gradual... It's a gradual development. So the Chachamim, now again, I'm interjecting a little bit over here, but basically the Chachamim said we would like to do the same thing as it relates to the mitzvah of Yibam. The mitzvah of Yibam, as it is just simply expressed in the Torah, is Bia, and that's it. And the Chachamim said we would like to put in layers and basically have a development towards marriage. So what the Chachamim instituted is a Kiddushin type procedure where what the Yavam is going to do is first he's going to be Mekadosh the woman. Now, the Torah doesn't recognize Kiddushin as it relates to the mitzvah of Yibam. Good. The Chachamim inserted it in. And just to make sure that we know what we're talking about, so they gave it a name, it's called Mimer. Mimer is the institution of Kiddushin that was instituted by the rabbis as it relates to the mitzvah of Yibam. Good. The process of Mimer. And basically, it goes like the same as Kiddushin. He hands her a ring. He says, Hare At. What's the language? Mekudeshesli? Okay. Anyway, but he performs the mitzvah of Mimer, the mitzvah of Kiddushin. And then, obviously, the next step is going to be that he's going to take her into his house and they're going to have Bia and he's going to be performing the mitzvah of Yibam. Fine. So this is what's called Mimer. Does Mimer have any legal ramification? So once again, another huge topic in Masechet Yevamos, and we know that basically this turned into a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says that Mimer does not have any legal ramifications. Beis Shammai says, yes, it does. Mimer is kone kinyan gamur. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Mimer actually is an acquisition. So that means then that if there is more than one Yavam, if there's more than one candidate for the mitzvah of Yibum, and one of them does the mitzvah of Mimer, according to Beis Shammai, he's doing the mitzvah of Mimer, therefore he's the chosen one. Therefore he's the husband. And now at this point in time, they're husband and wife. So now, to insert Now a better understanding of the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara tells us that this is Rabbi Ami's, this is all Rabbi Ami's presentation. The Gemara now tells us that Rabbi Eliezer really subscribes to the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says that Maimer is Kone. Our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where Maimer was done. Okay, it's an important detail which was, quite frankly, left out of the Mishnah. But Maimer was done, and because Maimer was done, now they are married husband and wife. According to Beis Shammai, Maimer has a status of marriage, and therefore the husband now could be made for her, his wife's Nadarim. Okay.
Maybe Rabbi Akiva held by that too?
No. No, we'll talk more about that later. And to which Rabbi Yeshua's response is as follows. Okay, you know, I agree with you. Maimer is a Kenyan, but I only think it has status if there is one candidate, not if there are two candidates. Now, why not? Because we know, and this takes us really back to the fifth parak of Yevamos. Today is like a full review, not a full, but an extensive review of the principles that we learned back to Masechta Yevamos. This is the fifth parak of Yevamos, where even after Maimer is done, another brother can come in and do something. Now, what that something is subject to a debate in the fifth parak of Yevamos. But in other words, just for simplicity's sake, let's just simply say, the story is not over after Maimer. After Maimer, after one of the surviving brothers does a mitzvah of Maimer, you can have another brother come along and either do bia or give her a get. And this will undo her connection with the brother who did Maimer. Okay, family dinners after, from that point going forward, will be extraordinarily uncomfortable. There will be a lot of animosity between the brothers, understood, but that's not our point. Our point is just simply that, according to Rabbi Yoshua, his response is that if there are multiple surviving brothers, so then even after Maimer is done, the story is not over. They're not exclusive to one another. That's why, with two surviving brothers, you cannot do the mitzvah of, even the brother who did Maimer cannot do the hafara. Good. That is now a defense of Rabbi Yeshua's position. Rabbi Kiva Savrein Zika. So, and then the Gemara just simply recaps all this by saying, and what about Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva does not subscribe to this principle of Zika. And so therefore, Maimer will accomplish nothing. Okay. Adkan, that takes us basically now to now we have an understanding of the three shitas within the Mishnah, even the shita Rabbi Eliezer. The shita Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah that says that even if there are two surviving brothers, one of them could do hafara. Question, how can that possibly be? How do we know that he's the one who's going to marry her? Answer of the Gemara now is presented by Rabbi Ami, is that Maimer. One of the surviving brothers did the mitzvah of Maimer, the mitzvah de Rabban of Maimer, therefore designating her to him. Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the Shita of Beis Shammai that Maimer is Kone Kinyan Gamor, and therefore, after Maimer is done, so she still works with the title of Shomeres Yavam, because they're not married yet, that only occurs after Bia, but still though, the marriage is affected enough so that he, the Yavam, can now do Hafara. That is the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees because even after Maimer, there still is no exclusivity between the two. And Rabbi Akiva dismisses all this with the idea that Ein Zika, there just simply is no bond between the Yavam and the Yavama. And so therefore, there's no opportunity for Hafara. Adkan, that is the end of the discussion. Not the end of the discussion, but the end of the presentation. And we continue in the Gemara. Ula Rabbi Lazar. Now, we have over here the word Rabbi Eliezer, but we're going to change it because we're talking now about the Amora Rabbi Elazar. Ula Rabbi Elazar Damra Maimer Lebe Shama In Kone Ela Ledachos Besara Mai Ikala Meimar. Now, everything was presented nice and simple. Here comes now a complication in this discussion, and that is the following. Even when Beis Shammai was presented in Masechta Yevamos, and Beis Shammai says that Maimer's Kone, and the way I presented and the way the Gemara has presented Beis Shammai's position is that Maimer's Kone Kinyan Gamor. It is a full and effective Kinyan between the Yavam and his Yavama. That is one understanding of Beis Shammai. However, the Amora Rebbe Elazar, not to be confused with the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, who's in our Mishnah, but the Amora Rebbe Elazar does not understand Beis Shammai to that kind of extent and to that kind of degree. Rebbe Elazar the Amora subscribes to the idea that even within Beis Shammai, who subscribes to Maimer, Maimer is not a full acquisition between Yavam and Yavama. The only thing Maimer could do is just simply block and the introduction of another Yavama, of another sister-in-law. So, for example, now I'm going to say this example quickly. If you get it, fine, and if not, go back to Yavamos and see it inside Yavamos. The Ron gives this example, and this is all based on what we learned back in Yavamos. So, for example, let's say you had three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. I know, this really takes us back to the world of Yavamos. So let's say you had three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and let's say Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters, and which is fine, perfectly legitimate. And then one of the brothers dies, and so Levi, he's not married. He's what the Gemara describes as mufne, so he's panui, he's a free and eligible bachelor. So he now takes his widowed sister-in-law as a yivama, but he doesn't do the mitzvah of yibam as of yet. What he does is he does mimer. Good. And then after he did mimer, then what happens? Shimon dies, and so now his wife is also now a candidate for the mitzvah of yibam. Here's the problem. The problem is that the two of them are sisters. He, the one surviving brother Levi, cannot do the mitzvah of yibam with two sisters. In other words, even though there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Yibam, but there's also the parsha known as Arias. And so therefore he can't marry two sisters. So now, in general, what happens under those circumstances, each one of them is achuz a kukaso, and therefore he has to do chalitza to both. However, the way Rabbi Elazar the Amora understands the opinion of Beis Shammai is that's as follows. That if Levi did mimer to Reuven's widow, when she was the only one who was presenting herself for the mitzvah of Yibam. So, it doesn't make them husband and wife, but what it does do is that at least it creates enough connection so that it would block Shimon's widow. So that if Shimon's widow presents herself after Mimer as a candidate now for Yibam, the fact that he did Mimer is enough connection. He doing Mimer to Reuven's wife is enough of a connection where it's going to block Shimon's wife. So then Shimon's wife no longer presents an obstacle for him being able to do the mitzvah of Yibam with Reuven's widow. But it does not make he and Reuven's widow at this juncture husband and wife, not even according to Beis Shammai. Fine. So, if that is your understanding of Mimer, so now we have to go back to the drawing board. Because if that's true then what allows Hafara? What allows the annulment of the vow? If you viewed Mimer as legitimate husband and wife, bona fide husband and wife, so that was great. But if you subscribe to Rabbi Elazar's viewpoint, where it doesn't make them husband and wife, it just creates enough connection to block others. So then if that's true, then we're back to the drawing board. How can Rabbi Elazar subscribe to the idea that this man who did Mimer could do it could be Mefer? To which the Gemara answers, Michael Mamer Hakam and Maiskin and Kigon Shamad Bidin, Vizchaev Lemazono, Sukudra Pinchas, Mishmeh Durabadamar, Kalon Deris, Aldaz Bala, Hino Deris. So the Gemara says as follows. Oh, so we're gonna have to really give a noop shot within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And it goes like this. Rabbi Eliezer is operating with the following principle, something that we learned yesterday and we get to review again today. And that is that, look, when her husband dies and she's a widow now, and her brother-in-law is now the candidate for the mitzvah of Yibam, so now you wait 3 months, as the Gemara in Yavamas taught us, and then we go over to the brother and say, okay, now, right, you have a great opportunity. A mitzvah in the Torah of Yibam, a special mitzvah. You have the opportunity. Not justifying, but understandably, he's not that excited. He's not that interested. This is not the woman I selected. Now again, he could do the mitzvah of chalitza, but right now he kind of just is dragging his feet. And not only is he dragging his feet, but let's even say that, you know, he decides to take a little trip. He runs away a little bit. So Beis Din at that point can now step in, and Beis Din can say, look, you got to do something. Right? She is a widow. She's a shomeres yavam. She's in wait. She can't move on with her life unless either you marry her or you do chalitza, but you got to do something. And not only that, but this woman also needs to be supported. Beis Din at this point in time can, after, again, this is after 3 months, Beis Din at this point in time can now go to the brother-in-law and say, okay, you're not doing anything. You are the yavam. You now are obligated to support her. Beis Din can now levy it's not really a fine against him, but it's basically, right, let's go. Let's say you have to support her. And Beis Din can now demand support from the husband, from the Yavam to his Yavama. And now the Gemara says, this is another way to understand the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah. How can it be that even if there are two Yavamim, how could it possibly be that one of them has the ability of Afar, they're not married? And if you want to say that maybe it subscribes to Beis Shammai, fine. If you subscribe to the idea that Maimer is Kinyan Gomer, that's fine. But if you don't subscribe to that, so then again, back to the drawing board. How could he annul her vows? Answer, says the Gemara, that Beis Din charged one of the brother-in-laws to support her. He was dragging his feet. He, you know, didn't say yes, didn't say no. Beis Din charged one of the brother-in-laws to support her. And now that he's on the hook for supporting her, now we go back to what we learned yesterday. What did we learn yesterday together? That once a man is obligated to support a woman, even if they're not fully married, that now makes her a dependent to him. Any neder she makes from that point going forward, she's making it only subject to his approval. Okay? That's what we learned yesterday. So really now, Rabbi Eliezer Shita today is actually the same Rabbi Eliezer that we learned yesterday. That is the Gemara's now second suggestion in terms of how to understand Rabbi Eliezer. Good. Tonight. We're on the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara continues. I'm a Rabbi Eliezer Umma. Imisha shekana l'atzma harehu meifer nedera isha shehikna lo min hashamayim einu din shemeifer nedereha. Gemara says, let's review what we learned back in the Mishnah. We had a dialogue in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Eliezer was making an argument, and the argument went like this: if you select your own wife, so then the Torah grants you the ability to annul her vows. If Hashem selects your wife, how much more so? That was Rabbi Eliezer's argument in the Mishnah. To which the Gemara says, "Ein adin shemefer nederav ibishasa b'maimer." So the Gemara now is challenging the first explanation we gave Rabbi Eliezer, and that is that one of the yavams, did maimer. So then he kind of lost the argument to Rabbi Eliezer. What was his argument? Hashem chose him. Hashem chose her to you. Well, that's not totally true. Meaning yes, but you also did maimer. You did something yourself. So So didn't you do the kinyan? So the Gemara says shekanal atzmo ayidei shamayim. So the Gemara says, well, that's basically what Rabbi Eliezer meant that you did maimer, but the reason why you did maimer is because Hashem put you in a position to do maimer. So yes, it's kind of like a combination. Hashem put you there, where now you are the Yavam, the one who is going to marry her. You did maimer. Okay, but you did maimer only because Hashem put you in that position altogether. So, Tipsha Dabai Rabba, Maimer Lebeis Shammai Erisin Osa or Nisuin Osa. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Fine, so I'm sorry. Before I read on in the Gemara, I should have just summarized. So let's do that right now. So now, in our Mishnah, we have the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, the most difficult Shita in our Mishnah to understand, because he says even if there are two Yavamim, one of them could do Afara. To which we ask the question: well, if there are two of them, how do we know which one is going to be the husband apparent? So right now in the Gemara, we presented two answers: Rabbi Ami's answer, and credit goes to, I don't know. The second answer is not given attribution. Okay. So, but there are two answers given in the Gemara. Answer number one of the Gemara is Rabbi Ami's answer, which is that only after Maimer was done, then and only then can he do Afara. And this answer, Rabbi Ami's, is pinned to the idea that Maimer is subscribed to the to Beis Shammai's viewpoint, that Maimer's Kinyan Gomer. Creates a full marriage between this Yavam and this Yavama. That's answer number one. And that's why he could do Afara. Answer number two of the Gemara is, again, not given attribution, but the Beis Din ordered that he has to support her, that this Yavam has to support this Yavama, and once Beis Din does so now he is financially obligated, and with that financial obligation, Rabbi Eliezer Lishita, so subscribing to his own viewpoint, is of the position that once you're financially obligated to support her, therefore you have the ability to annul her vows. Adkan, that is right now two ways to present the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara now is going to use this to discuss something we discussed back in Yavamas.
Sorry, just a quick question. How old is the Yavama? Does it matter?
I mean, we're talking, well, part of the answer to your question really will depend on the upcoming Gemara, so, I mean, stay tuned, but, okay, we'll see. Tisha Dabai Rabba, Tisha Dabai Rabba. Now, the Gemara back in Yavamas asked the question, Rabba was asking this question, within the Shita Beis Shammai. Maimer le Beis Shammai, Erisun Osa and Nisun Osa. Look, we know that Maimer creates Ishus, creates a marriage, according to Beis Shammai. Okay. And the question we asked back then, which we're going to repeat right now, is, what degree of marriage? We know marriage works in stages. Stage 1 of marriage is Erisin. Stage 2 of marriage is Nisuin. When Beit Shammai says that Maimer is Kona, is it stage 1 marriage, Erisin, or is it stage 2 marriage, Nisuin? So Tisha de Nisuin Osa, di Erisin Osa, Tana Nara, Marasa, Avio, Balam, Afir, Nadara. The Gemara says, based on our discussion, it's pretty clear, isn't it, that we're talking about stage 2 marriage. Because we know, since the beginning of this parak, right, trying to drill it into me and you, and that is, a husband, meaning full husband, Erisin and Nisuin, can be made for his wife's Nadarim. But if he's just Erisin, a husband can't be made for his wife's Nadarim. He could do so in coordination with his father-in-law, and only while she's a Nara Marasa, but on his own, he can't be made for his wife's Nadarim. So if we're discussing right now only the Yavam's ability to be made for his neder, and we're explaining that the Shita Rabbi Eliezer is working within synchronicity of the Shita of Beis Shammai, that this is subject to the idea of Maimer, and because of Maimer, therefore, the husband can be made for his wife's Nadarim, so it must be that Maimer brings us not only stage 1, but Maimer must bring us to stage 2. Otherwise, what kind of conversation are we having? So the Gemara says, Amar Avnach, Amar Yitzchak, Ma Yafir Yafir B'Shutfus. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what you can argue is that within our Mishnah is only talking about an annulment where the Yavam is doing it in coordination with his father-in-law, and so it's Afar B'Shutfus, it's with a partnership, and so therefore it could be that the Mimer only accomplishes Erisin, not Nisuin. Okay, Adkan. Okay, that and Hedy, now that we saw that, now we'll say that if the Gemara's answer stands, which again this is all an explanation of Rabbi Eliezer and Beit Shammai Shitas that we don't hold of. But if this explanation stands, so then obviously she can't be older than a Nara. At most, she can be a Nara, because once she's a Bogeris, then Dad is totally out of the picture. Okay, Amar of Nachma is. I'm sorry. Okay, so fine. My yafi yafi rishonfas. Tanya nami hachi ki Rabbi Ami. Good. Rabbi Ami says that the correct way to understand Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah is that Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the viewpoint of Beit Shammai, and that one of the Yavams did the mitzvah of Maimer. The Gemara says, I'm going to show you a brisa, and after having gone through the entire brisa, the brisa will take us to the bottom of the zamud. After having shown you the brisa, you'll see, yeah, that's right. Meaning Rabbi Ami really saying what seems to be the correct pshat within the Mishnah. Let's see the brisa together. This brisa, it's a tosefta. It's going to be basically parallel to our Mishnah. It's just that some of the arguments that are going to be given in this brisa are slightly different than that we saw in the Mishnah. Shemer es yavam ben yavamecha ben shnei yavamim Rabbi Lazar omer yafir. Okay, shita number one. This is a great review from the beginning of today's daf. Shita number one is Rabbi Eliezer. Even if there are two yavamim, two candidates of Yibum, they can annul is their sister-in-law's Nidarim. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Lecha V'Loshem. Rabbi Yoshua says no, that's only if there's one candidate. And Rabbi Kiva Omer Lecha V'Loshem. Rabbi Kiva says no and no. The Yavam cannot be made for his Yavama's vows. Amar Rabbi Eliezer Uma Im Isha Shein Lo Chelek Ba Achelo Tava L'Rishuso Misha Bas L'Rishuso Nigmar Lo Nigmar Lo Isha sheyesh lo chelek ad shelo tava l'reshuso mishabas l'reshuso eino din shetigmar lo. So we start off with an argument to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, look, a woman who he had nothing to do with, so you can't be made for her neder until she goes into your domain. This woman who you already started having something to do with, meaning she's a Yavama, so she already is somewhat in your domain. So once you put her further in your domain, how much more so that you have the right? So already, hopefully you got it, although it is very subtle. And that is, what was Rabbi Elazar's argument? She was already a little bit in your domain, and you put her in, more into your domain. What is Rabbi Elazar talking about? Maimer. Right. In other words, she was already a little bit in your domain, meaning there's a mitzvah of Yibum, and you put her more in your domain? Maimer. Okay. So, and he can't be describing Yibum over here, because once Yibum is done, then husband and wife, then there's nothing to talk about. So he's making an allusion over here in a mimer. He doesn't say mimer, but it's pretty clear he's talking about mimer. So that already is excellent evidence that Rabbi Ami is right. This argument of Rabbi Kiva parallels the argument that we saw in the Mishnah of Rabbi Kiva, to which Rabbi Kiva says, wait, slow down. You take a woman, not in the context of Yibam, off the street, and you marry her, good. Once you marry her, nobody has any other rights to her. Once you're ma'aris her, no one has any rights to her. This woman, however, if there are two Yavam candidates, so each one of them has a chelek ba, each one of them has a right to do the mitzvah of Yibam at this juncture. So Rabbi Kiva says, how can you compare marriage to Yibam? So I'm a low Rabbi Yoshua Akiva Dvercha Bishna Yavam Mata Meshiva Yavam Echad. Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Akiva, okay, but what if there's only one Yavam candidate? So if there's only one Yavam candidate, can't we make now a fair comparison of marriage in Yibam? Amalei klum chalakno al Yavam Echad v'ashna Yavamim. Bein sha'asa ba'maimer, bein sha'asa ba'maimer. So Rabbi Akiva basically says, I dismiss. I don't care whether it's one Yavam, whether it's two Yavamim, whether he did Mimer, whether he didn't do Mimer. Rabbi Kiva just simply says, I dismiss it all. Now, again, just like in our Mishnah, you don't really know what Rabbi Kiva is saying with all this. Basically, we're saying, here's what we do know. Rabbi Kiva says, I reject everything. Ukishar dvarim kein nedarim balashan azeh. And just like everything else, so too like nedarim. Again, a very obscure sentence by Rabbi Akiva, but basically, he dismisses it. And Amar ben Azai, now even though we don't really know how Rabbi Kiva punctuated that whole discussion, other than that, you're wrong, I'm right, good. I wish I can end all arguments like that. So Amar ben Azai, Chaval Alecha ben Azai, Shloshim Shimashad Rabbi Kiva. And then we get one last note in this braisa, such a great quip. And that is Ben Azai, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Remember, the Gemara told us, Ben Azai, together with Rabbi Akiva, Nichnus to the parties, went to parties together. So Ben Azai says, you know, it's a shame. I should have spent more time with Rabbi Akiva, learning under Rabbi Akiva, being under the tutelage of Rabbi Akiva. Like, he knows how to finish an argument. He knows how to end a fight. Like, he's so good. I wish I spent more time with him. So, now, in a moment, we're going to get to what exactly, how did Rabbi Akiva end this whole discussion? But anyway, Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Ami. But we're now on the very top of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, and the Gemara goes on to now just finish the point. We ended the Braisa. And the reason why we brought the Braisa in is just to show that Rabbi Ami is right. That when Rabbi Eliezer says that when there are two Yavam candidates, one of the two can be made for the Nedarim, how could you be made for Nedarim? You're one of two Yavamim. Answer, one of them did Mimer. How did we know that? So the Gemara just spells out which we already commented. Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Ami Diktani, Bein Sha'asa Ba Mimer, Bein Sha'asa Ba Mimer. Because look, first of all, look at Rabbi Kiva's response at the end. I don't care if you did Mimer, I don't care if you didn't do Mimer. Clearly, what was in the discussion, although not articulated to the very end until we heard it said by Rabbi Kiva, what was in the discussion was Rabbi Eliezer must have been making this argument, oh, I'm talking about when you did Mimer. And you hear because Rabbi Kiva responds with, I don't care. You did Mimer, you didn't do Mimer. So clearly Mimer was part of the discussion. Inami Miresha Diktani Mishnichnas Alarushuso Nigmar Alo. So the and then the Gemara says, and also another way you heard Rabbi Ami in the Braisa, even though Rabbi Eliezer didn't say the word Mimer, because in the Braisa it said Mishnichnas Alarushuso. She was brought into your domain. So the Idolo Kaddish my Nigmar Alo. Now, if no Mimer was done, what does it mean you brought her into your domain? What does that mean? Yeah, it must mean Mimer. It must mean you did something to further develop this relationship between you and her. Now, again, it can't be talking about the mitzvah of Yibam, because once the mitzvah of Yibam is done, So then they're husband and wife. Then we're no longer having a discussion of Shmir's Yavam. So it must be Mimer. Okay, so two excellent pieces of evidence that it was that Rabbi Eliezer's position is really pinned on the idea of Mimer, like Rabbi Ami says. And again, what we're going to also have to say is that Rabbi Ami's understanding of Beit Shammai is that Mimer is king and gamor, not like Rabbi Eliezer, as we introduced earlier this morning. Okay. I'll just finish to the Mishnah so that tomorrow could start fresh from a new Mishnah. So, Mayu Cheshadraim Kenadarim, Diktani. And then the Gemara says, look, as long as we quoted the Braisa, and Rabbi Kiva had a winning argument at the end, and we didn't understand the winning argument of Rabbi Kiva at the end. So the Gemara says, can we spell that out? Like, what was Rabbi Kiva saying at the tail end of the whole discussion that basically Ben Azai said, oh, he's good. He's really what was so good about what Rabbi Kiva said? So Amar Rava Hachi Kitani. So Rava says, this is how you understand, this is what Rabbi Kiva said at the end. Iyat Amoris She'en Chayav Meskila Kenara Amarasa. So here's what Rabbi Kiva said at the end. He says, look, you can give me all the arguments you want. Mimer, no mimer. Those are all lovely arguments. Are they married? Yes or no? And the answer is no. And what Rabbi Kiva says is, let's go through the litmus test at the end of the day. At the end of the day, she is with another man. Not her Yavam. She's with another man. Is she going to be put to death? Is that adultery? Now, it's wrong. It's prohibited. But are we talking adultery? No, we're not. She's a Yavama who is waiting for a Yavam to do something, but they're not married. Evidenced by the fact that she's not going to be put to death if she's with another man, even willingly. Okay.
But the second marriage works.
Huh?
The second marriage
works. And because it's only a violation of the law, the second marriage works. And if she were to marry another man. In other words, they're not married yet. Period. That's Rabbi Kiva's conclusion to the whole discussion. Okay, good. And then now we get to hear Ben Azai once again. Oh, that's good. I should spend more time with Rabbi Kiva. So Amar Ravashi Masisa Nami Deka. So just to close off the whole discussion, so Ravashi says, look, you can go back to the Mishnah, meaning we explored the point from the Braisa, and we got it. Meaning from the Braisa it was evident and clear that Rabbi Eliezer's position that even with two Yavam and one of them can be Mefer, so again, like Rabbi Ami said, with Mimer. Good. Now, Ravashi says, we can go back to our Mishnah, read the Mishnah critically, and also arrive at the same conclusion. Ein Yavama Gemura Li'isha, Kishim Sharusa Gemura Li'isha. A Yavama is not complete to her husband, like an Arusa is complete to her husband. Again, think about it, like, read that line again and again, what's coming out from that line? Erusin, right, the Yavam is not the same as Erusin. What was Rabbi Akiva's responding? What was he responding to? What he was responding to was the idea that Mimer was done. And what Rabbi Eliezer was arguing is that since Mimer was done, it's just like Erusin. And Rabbi Akiva's response is it's not the same. Mimer and Erusin are not the same. And again, now that we know the Braisa, we know what Rabbi Akiva is really objecting to. What he's really objecting to is the idea that you can't call this a marriage. If it's a marriage and she committed adultery, she'd be put to death. In the case of Yibam, she's not going to be put to death. It's not a marriage. Okay. Adkan that. So Ravashi says that when you look at our Mishnah, Rabbi Ami's pshat really bears itself out in the Mishnah as well. Okay, let's just quickly review. There is a lot of Ran, which at the end of this whole discussion, which, time permitted, I would like to do. He discusses what the halacha is. He discusses whether we subscribe to Zika, whether we don't subscribe to Zika. Do we take Rabbi Kiva's opinion? So please, if time allows, the Ran is all found on this in the middle of this Amud. It starts with the words the Divra Maskal is Kishem Sha'arusa Gemur L'Isha. Anyway, but let's just quickly review and recap. And let's finish for today. So again, a discussion that we had in our Mishnah was regarding the Yavam's ability to be made for his wife's Nedarim. I said his wife, but I don't really mean his wife. I mean his Yavama. So the way it's presented in our Mishnah and the way the Gemara presents it is that a lot of the issue revolves around whether there is a Zika or there is not a Zika. Rabbi Eliezer says, even with two Yavamim, one of them can be made for her neder. So how does that work according to Rabbi Eliezer? So at the end of the day, literally at the end of the daf today, the answer is according to Rabbi Ami, because one of them did mimer. The Gemara did offer a different explanation, but the Gemara says that really Rabbi Ami's pshat bears out. It bears out in the brisa we saw on the Amud Beis of today's daf. It even, if you read the Mishnah critically, it even bears itself out in the Mishnah as well. One of the Yavams did mimer. Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to Beis Ami's position, which, let's just point out, I could have pointed this out much earlier today. That makes a lot of sense, because Rabbi Eliezer is a Shamuti. He generally subscribes to the opinions of Beis Ami, so that's very good. And that mimer creates a Kinyan Gamor, and that's how he can do the Hafara. Rabbi Yehoshua disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, but because, well, not when there are two candidates. If there's one candidate, so then Rabbi Yeshua subscribes to the principle of Zika, and therefore, then and only then can he be Mefer. And finally, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that you cannot do Afara, but really, when all is said and done, there are two possibilities of why Rabbi Akiva says he can't do Afara. Either, number one, it's predicated on the fact that ain't Zika, which is what the Gemara said in Ayin Dalamud Aleph, but it also could be predicated on the fact that even if you hold Yezika, still, it's not a marriage. It's not a marriage borne out by the fact that if she were to commit adultery at that point in time, she wouldn't be put to death. Okay, so that is the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. And really, at the end of the day, there are two different reasons why that could be.